I just graduated high school, but it's been 20 years. I forgave the two men who murdered my father. No one has an excuse. I let it go. They can take anything away from me, but they can't take away my mind. When the mind is still, the universe will reveal all its greatest secrets to you. The toughest man I've ever seen is a crier. Let go of that one thing and watch what happens to your life literally in less than a week. And you put something specifically on in a direction that you want to go in, and you stay committed to the process.
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. Is it possible to achieve health, happiness, and success when you have been homeless for years, when you have been in prison for years, and when no one, including yourself, is believing in you? Today's guest would say it is, and simply state, change your mindset, change your life. Let's welcome Garen Jones, the man who did it and now inspires the world to do the same. Welcome, Garen.
That was an excellent intro, and thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, very short and sweet, and let's dig deeper. And I'm going to try something new here today that I've never done before, because we had a little bit of conversation before this podcast, and I just want to start so we can get right into it. How do you end up in a prison in France?
Well, you know, you take a kid who the only people who wanted to hang out with him when he was little are the people who get in trouble all the time. So naturally, just by culture, I do what I see everyone else doing. But it's like a form of language. You know, if I wanted to speak, what is it, Sweden?
Swedish, yeah.
If I wanted to speak Swedish, who do you think would learn faster? The guy who's, the person who goes to Starbucks and picks up Rosetta Stone once a week, or the person who goes to the country, eats the food, and immerses himself in the culture? Yeah. Who's going to learn faster?
Easy, right? You go there.
All day.
Yeah.
So the culture I grew up in was gang violence. I was never in a gang, but I hung out with them. Yeah. You know, so like the gang violence and all this kind of stuff. And these were the people who gave me recognition. And I would break into a car or break into a house. They're like, man, good job. All I ever wanted to hear was, good job, I'm proud of you. But I never heard that anywhere else. So that's like energy and sunlight to a flower. And what direction does the flower grow? When there's sunlight, in the direction of the energy. So I just followed that pattern, just like language. If you keep on doing the ABCs, all of a sudden that'll turn into words, sentences, paragraphs. You can dance because of your count. Yeah. So a kid learning the ABCs of getting in trouble, and you keep doing it. So my life was the culmination and a compound effect of the seed that was planted in my childhood domestication. So in my head, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm only doing what I know. Yeah. So me hungry for money, people gave me recognition. You do this, we'll give you money. I drive a car over a border 7 times that has drugs in it. I don't know what kind of drugs, but I just know it has drugs. 8th time I get caught and I'm like, oh my God, reality sets in. Boom, rock bottom again.
How does that feel? Can we just talk about that? When they catch you in that moment, how can you explain that feeling? Like,
the best way to describe it so that the most people could understand. Do you know that feeling when you go come to high school And you just came, I don't know how the school system is in Sweden, but I just got out of junior high where eighth grade is the highest grade.
Yeah.
And then you go to ninth grade and that's the bottom grade. And then you see all these kids that are in 12th grade, 18 years old, 17. Your first day of school where your knees are a little wobbly and you feel really small. Yeah. When that happened to me, I felt really small because I knew I was about to go into a level that I had never experienced. I felt weak. My words, I was like, oh. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had no confidence because I knew nothing about where I was thinking in my head where I was about to go. And I was deathly afraid.
Yeah. And how, like, so you had, you probably had a lot of time to think in there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you think about during that time?
So while I was in prison, and it's interesting because you can't, the only people who would truly understand this are people who are master meditators, yeah, monks, and people who just truly understand breath and calmness. Only I was doing this because I had no choice.
Yeah.
So I was in prison. There were no distractions. I wasn't distracted by women, cars, bills, or anything. All I had was time. And what I said to myself is, what can I do in here that I wouldn't normally do out there? So I start reading. I read over 275 books in those 2.5 years, but I read a lot of books several times.
Yeah.
Read the Bible cover to cover 8 times, the Quran cover to cover 8 times. Taught myself fluent French because I was around nothing but French-speaking people.
Yeah.
Stopped using my dominant hand, my right hand, used my non-dominant hand, which operated a different part of my brain. I didn't know that I was going to be creative again because I'm just adapting to whatever environment I am. And I remembered while I was in there, oh yeah, I love to draw. I love to sing. So I started doing those things. And then I started running. I've been running since I was 7.5 months. And within a month, there was almost the entire prison running with me. And when I started running, less fights, less stabbings, less drug deals. The warden brought me in and said, since you've been running, this is what's happened.
Yeah.
And that was before I understood value. So I utilized, once I realized that outside freedom does not create real freedom. It's here.
Yeah.
Because I watched a movie called Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And he said, Tim Robbins goes, they can take anything away from me, but they can't take away my mind. And I made that mean, well, as long as I'm doing everything I love, I'm free. So I was outside saying, I feel I'm so lost. I feel like I'm so far away from where I'm supposed to be, to the point where I'm lost, so far away from where I'm supposed to be. And then in prison, I realized I was a free man. Because I was doing everything that I love. In that moment, I wasn't in prison. I was free. And then when I became the essence of absolute freedom, out of nowhere, because I got sentenced for 12 years, out of nowhere, Jones, you're free to go home. The drugs are fake.
Wow.
All of a sudden, they tested the drugs 3 times, 6.2 kilos of heroin. All of a sudden, when I believe I'm a free man,
yeah,
drugs are fake. You're free to go home.
That's crazy. So what happens when you get out? Like, where do you go from there?
So while I was in there, I had a plan. I said, if I ever get out, I'm gonna make get a recording contract. I'm going to record these songs because while I was in there, I got so creative. When the mind is still, the universe will reveal all its greatest secrets to you. That's waiting for you to actually listen. Not listen to the distractions, to listen to that inner voice. So I wrote all these songs while I was in there. I memorized all my dreams. By the way, half of my dreams are already played out in my life 15 years later. And so soon as I got out, I got on MySpace, and somebody told me that's like this social media thing. I got on MySpace. I messaged 900 people because that's before you can get in trouble for spamming.
Yeah.
I had no songs. I mean, I had no actual recorded songs, no money. I messaged 900 people. I said, I just want to get one person, because my brother gave me an ultimatum. He says, if music is what you want to do, I will give you a place to stay. I'll give you food. I'll drive you everywhere. Don't come home unless you have a song per night. Yeah. 30 days, I had 28 songs. 2 weeks later, I had a $500,000 record deal. Not because I got lucky. Who will message 900 people? I got one producer to just say yes. From that one song, I put it up on MySpace. And then all of a sudden, those same producers like, oh, I like that song. I want you in the studio. Boom. Record the songs that I made while I was in prison. I recorded all those songs. And I had 28 songs. And then I went to a comedy room where Ludacris just happened to be there. My brother had introduced me to Ludacris. I gave him my CD. He spoke to the CEO at Def Jam. Boom. Record deal.
Wow. And what happens after that?
I have this thing that if I don't feel, so I'm like high and steady. I record this song with like Ludacris and Chingy, and I'm just like, man, just thrust out in the spotlight. We're on like MTV, BET, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to become a big star. All of a sudden, I feel my music shifting, which it wasn't their fault. It was my fault. I allowed my own unique sense to change so that I could fit in with people who were giving me congratulations. You notice a trend?
Yeah.
Well, whoever was giving me the energy, I would mold into those people. So if I'm around nothing but rappers, I started being this happy-go-lucky singer that was shifting his whole image into who I was hanging out with the most. And when I caught it, I was like, this is not what I want. So I walked away, and everybody called me crazy. I walked away from a recording contract with Ludacris and said, I don't want it. So therefore, it wasn't even about the money. It's about my spirit. And now I know I made the right decision.
Jared, this is crazy, man. And I don't even know like what to say, because there's so many people out there that have similar situations. They're imprisoned in their mind. Maybe they haven't been. People can listen here. They can be in a corporate job making six figures, but you can still be imprisoned in your mind. And you can still be unhappy.
Oh, I tell people that all the time. I was like, they'll be like, oh, I'm so glad I never went to prison. But you'll be in a relationship for 7 years with a man or a woman that you know damn well you don't want to be in, and you don't know how to get out. Guess what? That's prison.
Yeah.
The job that you never left for 15 years. You hate the boss. You hate the people you work around. But you stay because of your social security. Guess what? You're in prison. So we're all going through or growing through the same thing. You just got to you get to realize and have the awareness of, if you can't leave and you don't know how to get to the next level, and you're like stuck and you don't like where you are, that's called mental prison.
And I want to talk about, before we move on to the more positive stuff, like, what would you like to say to the bad relationships you've had, to the women you hurt, to the people you've hurt in your life? What do you want to say to them?
The funny thing is, I've apologized to all of them. And thank you. Because if it hadn't have been me If I hadn't had the opportunity to experience all those things, when I did transform my life, I would have never had the opportunity to have compassion. So whenever certain people do certain things, I don't go off right away. Yeah. I'm like, I've been there before. Yeah. And so having compassion and understanding has developed a level of patience inside of me where I've spoken with masters in martial arts. They're like, how did you gain this wisdom without going through this? I was like, well, there's several ways to gain wisdom. It's like there is a certain level of wisdom that you can get through age, through martial arts and things like that. But then there's life experience. And when you actually embody it, I feel like life experience is one of the greatest teachers in a way where, so my resilience, my patience, my ability to silence the crazy brain and truly get to the core would not have been cultivated if it hadn't have been for all of the things that I grew through. So now I know how to lead people through who I used to be and the areas that I came. So thank you so much. And, you know, I've already apologized to everyone.
Was that hard to you? For you?
It was hard in the beginning, because I didn't know the effect it was having on my life. Yeah. You know, the hot air balloon can't leave the ground until you release the weight. Yeah. So it wasn't until I started letting go of resentment. I made a list of 250 names of people who did things to me and things that I've done to people. And regardless of if they did something to me or not, I apologize to every one of them. Some people are like, well, I did it to you. I was like, no, but I held resentment towards you. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't for them. It was actually for me. Yeah. And if you hold resentment is prison. Yeah. So I freed myself. So once I realized what was happening in my life as I was letting go of the weight of resentment and being able, I forgave the two men who murdered my father. No one has an excuse. I let it go because I was the one who was paying the price for not being able to forgive and holding on to all the resentment. So as I created the space, it made room for my blessings. If you have a two-car garage and there's two cars parked in it, you cannot put another car in there. But if you release and let go of what's in that space, you can fill it with something else.
I know. And I mean, I think molding to the people you hang around with, it's so common, right?
Yes.
We are. It's nothing wrong to work in teams and work together. I love that. But there's also room for being yourself, right?
Absolutely.
And there's so many out there listening to this now that are like, I'm always trying to make other people happy, pleasing them instead of showing the world who I truly am.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to those people?
Well, I feel like if you don't show the world who you truly are, it, you're doing yourself and the world a disservice, because the greatest gift that you can give to the world is you and your authentic nature. They only made one of you. So if you're trying to be like someone else, and it's a difference if you're mirroring success, but if you're like, I want to be this person, you'll forget about you in the process. So the best way, I love to talk in analogies. If you take a cup and then you fill it up to the very top and put one more drop, what will happen to the water?
Spill over.
It'll start to spill over. Every day you do something for yourself, you pour, it's like pouring water into a cup. Every time you're trying to be anything but yourself and you don't think about yourself, whatever you poured in, you pour right back out. So most people spend their whole lives pouring in, pouring out, pouring in. Why? I have no energy. There's only a certain amount of energy that you have per day, but you give your power to everyone else and everything else, and you're not pulling from where the source is. Yeah. You are the foundation to your life. Try to build a house with no foundation and see how long that lasts you. It won't last. So what I say is, pour into yourself. And keep pouring and keep pouring and keep pouring. Find out the things that you love and keep pouring. And then allow people to experience from the overflow that you first give to yourself. You'll have so much energy. You'll have so much vitality. And you can just keep going and going and going because you're pouring from into an overflowing cup. It's all energy.
Totally agree. But what we see a lot in this world is that people see it as a weakness to say I'm sorry or to show that I don't know what I'm... I don't know. Like if you say I don't know how to do this or I'm sorry, for a lot of people they see it as a weakness. What do you want to say to those people?
You know what? We're all being brainwashed. We all have been brainwashed. Yeah. So the thing that you get to ask yourself is, why is there only 2% wealthy in the world? What do they know that most people don't? Yeah. And the rest will die trying to figure it out. So here's what I have to say. If what's going on in your life does not bring you absolute exhilaration, vitality, love. I'm just talking about like, oh my, I am so happy every single day. Yeah. That there is something that's not in alignment. And how I was trained in my head is men don't cry. Oh, you leave the past in the past. You know, money don't grow on trees. Money don't make you happy. No, they don't know where to shop. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because money can amplify the happiness that you already have inside. So you can actually create new traditions in your life instead of abiding by the ones that you don't even know why or how you're living them right now. So what I was brought up with is men got to be tough. And let me tell you, the toughest man I've ever seen is a crier, is somebody that's vulnerable. The strength that it takes to be open and honest with who you really are deep down inside, that is one hell of a strong man. Because the weakest men, they hold it all in. And they're afraid to show who they really are. When I let go and shared the world who Garen really is, I had about 36 pages of email saying, how the hell did you do that? Wow, where did you get the strength to do that? And the same thing that has me speaking in over 60 countries in the last 3.5 years, it's because of my story. The strength that it took to withstand life, be resilient, and the even stronger strength that it took to share it in a place where I can be face to face with anybody, not lose who I am, not lose my confidence. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's a killer, drug dealer, martial artist, anybody, because I know me. Yeah. But if I stuffed it all down, it would be an image that I'm trying to portray. Yeah. And it's not just with men, it's with women too, with human beings, period. Yeah. Your greatest strength is in being who you are at the core. Yeah. Anything on top of that is ego. And ego is filtered through the image that you're trying to portray so that you can fit a mold of how you want people to think you should be. Yeah. Another form of prison.
Do you have a couple of tools do you want to share that can help people get closer to that?
You know, I could give you the tool, but if you take the tool and you're still the same person and you put it on top, it's like putting icing on a mud pie. The most important thing from the beginning, release. Let it all out. You can't put the puzzle pieces together unless you get them out of the box. So it's going to look ugly. It's going to be not perfect or whatever. But when you get it out, now you can see what you're working with. You may not even know the you, the real, the unlived you that you're working with, because no one has ever known anything about you. Why do we follow Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, any of those? Why? Because we know they're come from. We know how they got their powers. We know about their parents. We know how they went through resilience and went through troubling times. You think that you don't have superpowers? Yeah, you may not recognize the superpowers because you've never exposed yourself. And so I say the number one tool is to have a moment, speak with somebody, where you just release it and you just let it go. Something that you've been holding down that you never told somebody, you never said this, whether you're white, black, gay, straight, pink, purple. If somebody doesn't know the real you, anything that you put on top of that, you're still going to be in bondment, like you're gonna be in bondage. So having a release, that is the first tool. Once you have the release, the second is identify what those things are. What are they? What are you looking at? Write them down. Wow, I forgot about this. I forgot that I love this. Oh my God, I have resentment towards my mom. Release all that stuff. And then do something about it, because you have no idea how much that's blocking abundance from coming into your life. Abundance is who you're born as. We just forget. So there are no breakthroughs. You're actually breaking back into who you are already. I'm just here and you're just here. We're just reminding people, oh yeah, remember you? Remember me? So the biggest tool is, like, people get tools all the time. The one thing I never want to do is create a flawed, is work inside of a flawed system. Yeah. See, people want to change people. No, you work on the system. The system is flawed. You got a system that's designed for success, and then people are in that, you'll produce more winners. So working on the system, the family system, the business system, with the people inside of that. So see what system you're in. If that's not in alignment, figure out how you can create a successful system. Number two, release the things that you've been holding on to. It could be the alcohol. It could be the drugs. It could be your deep desire to chase women and it's making you lose focus, or men and it's making you lose focus, because whatever has power over you becomes your God. It becomes your maker. It becomes your creator. When you let go of that, the strength that it takes to hold on to something that is not supporting your next level, the strength that it takes to hold on is the same strength that's needed for the next level. So you're actually holding on to the next level in resistance while holding on to the thing you don't want to let go of. Start with one thing that you know is not connected to your goals. Let go of that one thing and watch what happens to your life literally in less than a week.
Just one more question.
Okay.
And then I'll let you go back to whatever you got to do tonight.
Okay.
Keep inspiring the world. And this is something that I ask all my guests. And that is, if they can do one thing right after this podcast to get closer to their dream, what would that be?
Can I do a 1.5 things?
Yeah.
Sure. 1.5.
Yeah.
Here's 1.5. First off, know where you're going. If you don't have a direction that you're going in, you get in your car and you put nothing in the GPS system and just start driving, you'll be driving forever. So put something in your mental GPS system and be very specific. So know where you're going. Oh, I don't know. Figure it out. You can't, nothing is going to happen that really fulfills you if you don't know where you're going. So where do you want to go in life? What do you want in life? So decide the direction you want to go in. That's one. Number two, be committed to the process and unattached to the outcome. Because a lot of times the outcome is 10 times better than you could have ever created. I don't know about you out there, but I believe there are special forces. I call it God out there working in accordance to the dream and the thoughts that we give the most power. So when you are clear and you put something specifically on in a direction that you want to go in and you stay committed to the process, go into the direction, watch how things start manifesting in your life. You start right there and keep moving forward. This time next year, you'll be on this podcast sharing your story.
Yeah, and we would love to have you. So, Garen.
Yeah.
How can we find you? We want to know more about you.
Ah, man. So I'm heavy on the gram. So of course my Instagram, Garen.Jones, Garrain.Jones. My website, which is currently being revolutionized right now, but it's still up, GarrainJones.com. So those are the two main sources, of course, like LinkedIn and Twitter and things, but the main ones where I'm always super active and I look at every comment for now while I have the time, is the Instagram and my website. Yeah. And don't forget, my book, Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life, is coming out in October.
Yeah, and I truly looking forward to read it and to learn more about you, because reading a book is incredible. Yeah. I'm originally from Macedonia, and a couple of summers ago I was there, and I love bookshops. I went into this bookshop and I see this guy just picking up books and books and books. He's buying 60 books. And Macedonia is a very poor country. So he bought books equivalent to 3 monthly salaries. So I thought he must work at a library or something. So I asked him, why are you buying all these books? He said, I love reading. And what can be better than in a couple of weeks or a couple of days, learn from someone who's putting in their whole life work?
Mm, that's powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful, man. So we're looking forward to read your book.
Yeah.
And from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being on this mission and to helping us change other people's life. We truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank you. You're welcome. And thank you for having me on. Like I said before, it's because of people like you. It gives voices like mine a place to have wings, yeah, so that the voiceless, yeah, know that it's possible.
Yeah. And thank you all for watching and listening to this episode. We truly appreciate it. Most people are home now. It's Friday night. They're with their families. We're here to support you guys in your dream. And we can't do this without you. We are here for you. So please share this with someone that needs to hear this message. Go into Garen's website or visit ilovesuccess.co, where you have hundreds of interviews with amazing, amazing people. So thanks again. Have a lovely day and go get it.
See you soon.